Welcome to the In The Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40K goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live!
We are indeed live. Welcome, everybody, to In The Tank. How are you doing, my beautiful and sometimes annoying co-host?
You mostly right? Irritating. Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. At least I'm not having phone issues like you are apparently this morning. Like, Christ, bless you. Yeah. Bless you. And you know it's there. I can see it's like the one
it's
ring. It's
really
in like the corner of
irritating.
Your eye. And you're like, you want to just jump on it, don't you?
Yes.
I know you. I know
I
you.
But I'm not going to because I'm a good boy.
Good lad.
So
good lad.
Anyway, well but yeah, moving swiftly on. Let's talk about Warhammer.
Yes, indeed. How's life been, my man? You been all right?
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Yeah, really good. We've finally hit 500 subs on the Battle Barn, which was a big milestone for the channel. So
amazing.
Done that within just over 2 months. So I'm really chuffed with that. Very, very quick.
Rock and roll.
Quality of content, clearly speaking for itself there.
There you go.
Yeah, we've got some more fun streams coming up and, you know.
I've got to get on there again soon.
We will get you on soon.
With a new detachment that we need to talk about in a minute.
We will.
Cool.
Awesome. How have you been?
Yeah, man, I've been doing all right. Busy as anything, doing a lot of hobbying.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the what you're working on subject. I have painted a fucking bull.
Yeah, have you finished him now, haven't you?
Bull. What did you think of him?
He looks gorgeous. The blood around the eyes was especially erection inducing.
Yes, well, my whole concept with that was like, if you're this algorithmically created beast that is in constant pain, having the ultimate grim dark effect of like bleeding out your eyes constantly is kind of a cool touch.
It was beautiful.
And I got the fire effect on the bass from where it's like flickering in the background, which I thought was pretty cool actually as well. Very quick shout out to Apollo, and thank you very much for my Lord of Contagion that I've been working on, because he
lad.
Sent that to me.
He's a good lad,
absolute lad. And I've been building some dragon ogres.
Yep.
I've been like all over the bloody shop and painting, obviously, my Iron Sultanate. Building some noise marines. God, I've been doing loads.
You've been a busy boy, haven't you?
Been doing bloody loads of stuff, mate.
You have.
Going crazy. Yeah. There we go. It's all good. What have you been doing?
I mean, I've basically just been sort of finishing off some Trench Crusade bits, like building a few models here and there. And then I've just been really like cleaning up terrain, 3D printed terrain bits for the table that we're going to do.
You've been painting anything?
No painting. I haven't had time. I've literally just been building. I went down a massive rabbit hole the other day because the table that we're doing, I want to have like LEDs and all kinds of shit like built into it so that we can have like, you know, flickering fires and torches and stuff within the trenches and on no man's land. And we've got like some of these cages with people trapped in them with fires underneath and stuff. And I want to like light them up and just make them look fucking cool. So, you know, cool red lights inside pillboxes. Just add a bit of like, you know, interesting atmosphere to the table outside of just like external light sources, which we can do in the barn anyway, because we've got little colored lights and things like that. So I think combined with the board and the smoke machine, we're going to get some insane looking stuff going on. So I dived down a proper rabbit hole and relearned electronics the other day so that I can actually build all of this into the board.
Oh, I didn't need that GCSE physics, still.
Yeah, no, I did GCSE electronics, I think. So I actually put it to good use. So it was just sort of like brain diving back, like, you know, 20 odd years. So that was
fun. I think I know your news better than you do. You went to the bloody UK Game Expo.
We did, yeah. That was really good fun.
Venus.
And we met the Trench Crusade guys as well, which is awesome. And I had a chat with them. So got the world map as like a print, which is exciting. So I'm going to put that up in the
box. How was the Game Expo in general?
It was cool, yeah. Loads of board games, loads of like 40K stuff, you know, wargaming stuff just everywhere. It was just nice to sort of chill out, mill round, have a little, you know, looky-looky.
Can you take me next year?
I tried to take you this year, but you were just useless, so.
Yeah, last minute, you were like, oh, yeah, do you want to go to the UK Game Expo?
In a month, yeah.
What? No, you didn't.
It was
like a week or two weeks.
2 weeks, maybe. But anyway, yeah.
I'll go next year.
I'll go with you next year,
I promise.
It was good. I enjoyed it. But now we've got the actual boards, like the wooden boards and all of the insulation foam and stuff. So all I'm waiting for is my hot wire cutter, which should be arriving hopefully maybe next week. And then once we've got that, we can properly dive in and start actually, you know, gluing these things together, chipping all the foam away and, you know, building the whole board, because we're going to magnetize the board so that all of the corners all slot together, basically, which will be quite fun. Yeah. Cool. It's going to be wicked. Nice. Yeah.
By the way, very quickly, I know now what you mean in regards to what phrase do you use when you collect armies that no one else plays?
Snowflaking.
Snowflake armies.
Yeah.
So yes, so because I obviously logged on Saturday morning last weekend to go like, oh yeah, Beastmen, they're gonna all sell out, all the Forge World stuff are gonna sell out.
No.
Still fucking up.
Yeah, like, of course it is.
I bought everything.
That's not surprising.
Because Space Wolves went on sale that weekend.
Yeah.
So all the Space Wolves stuff got sold out. Like all the Space Wolves stuff got like sold out. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, cool. Beastmen aren't that popular. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's
cool
with me. So yeah, so I got 2,000-point Beastman army arriving on my door soon.
That's going to be fun. Nice. You naughty boy.
Naughty, naughty. Very naughty.
Yeah.
So before we get stuck into some of our other topics and some news and all kinds of weird stuff we need to talk about this week, please like, comment, subscribe. Thank you to our Patreons. Get on the Discord. It's where all the stuff's happening.
And check out the Battle Barns
Discord, where all the stuff is happening. Thank you very much for everyone's support. Yeah. You guys are the best.
You are the
best.
And
we love you lots.
We're building a lovely community, and it's been...
The community's mad, isn't it?
And it's absolutely the best thing about the pod, to be honest with you.
I love logging on to the pod's Discord every day and just being like, what's every... Oh, yeah, I've got like more messages about Space Wars again.
Yeah, of course. Every single time.
Thanks.
It's great.
Thanks. Well, Ross Johnson's like, Space Wars! And it's like, just churning that out.
Yeah, yeah.
So there we go. But yes, please log on because it's the best and we love you. And we've had some really lovely comments from people all the way from Sweden and stuff like that recently, and some really like genuinely lovely comments. So bring it on. Keep it coming. It's all good. Thank you very much. So news.
There's loads.
GW. Now, we are very sort of, I think we're quite neutral in regards to our stance on Games Workshop. Like, sometimes, obviously, we're very quick to criticise and be like, fuck you for doing really silly things and stuff like that. But obviously, there was this amazing thing about giving 20 mil to their employees recently in bonuses.
That's really good.
How do you feel about that recently?
Yeah,
because
that's great.
Their turnover was ridiculous.
That should happen, right? You know, these are the people that make the company tick. And I think we've heard, like, for the longest time that they've underpaid their staff and et cetera. And that
A lot of people... I don't want to go, like, personally, like, on the hate train for
No.
Where, like, but
they don't get paid a huge amount, right? Compared to some companies.
Look. Objectively, I'm a lefty. You know, capitalism sometimes sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and like, people don't get paid what they should get paid. All of that aside, you know, any other potential FTSE 100 company could have just pocketed that as pure raw
and they didn't.
Thing and just gone, fuck you. The fact that they've given a bonus to their employees that are obviously on the front lines of making this hobby great is, in my opinion, a minimum and awesome that they're doing that, like, quite frankly. So
it's a good move from both like a PR perspective and also just, you know, a company perspective. So,
yeah, I mean, it's quite cool. It gets it in the public domain as well, right? And also, you know, as we've talked to Peachy on the pod, you know, obviously the bonus was given to everybody. Like, working in retail fucking sucks sometimes, right? And, like, it's really cool that, like, everybody in the company is getting a bonus. And, and you know, it makes people that are on the front lines helps them in these dark times.
So
it's cool. And of course we've got all the new stuff for Imperial Knights and Chaos Knights on the horizon that looks quite fun.
There's loads of stuff coming out,
Yeah, man, it's like coming in thick and fast. But of course, the big news is the old balanced data safe and chapter approved sort of stuff. How do you feel about that? Now, you did say to me that you haven't looked at the new detachments.
No,
at all,
I haven't looked
at
the detachments, but I've seen the balanced data slate and stuff like that. So that it all looks good. Yeah, solid changes for the most part, I think. So just tweakage as usual.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's
not
been
too
heavy handed. Interesting rebalances and stuff.
The
right?
Lion got such a glow up. My goodness. That boy is like crackers again. He's got his like minus one to wean back over when they're tough stronger.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, this guy's going to really
reroll ones to hit and ones to wound as well within an aura.
Yeah, that's going to be nice.
Including himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And probably a unit of Inner Circle companions hanging around.
And he just gets to jet back off the board and come back down again as well. He could just like forest walk all over the shop. Such a cool idea. Yeah.
I mean,
he's giving me a problem.
I'm saying it. I mean, I'm like,
He feels a lot more Primarchy now, let's put it that way.
I'm quite happy with this.
I should imagine you are.
As expected, right? Didn't Skitarii slash, you know, get loads of buffs as well?
There were some buffs. The sort of like robots, the big Castellan robots, can actually use the army rule now, which is really big. So, because they couldn't before.
As they should.
So, and there's a few little random tweaks around that, so that'd be fun. I love those models as well. Very fun.
I mean, they're great. The Castellans, like, they give me Lost in Space.
Yes, like those 70s robots, you know.
Yeah. They like give you that, like yeah. That
quite
very
Fallout-y.
Forbidden Planet vibes. Yes, very Fallout-y. Mm-hmm. Very Fallout-y. And, of course, we had the three new detachments. Yep. Oh, didn't Tau get a massive buff?
Tau got, like, a buff to all of their guiding and stuff just to make it a lot better
and
simpler.
But their stealth suits are now insane as well. They're, like, stealth suits. Fucking hell, are you ready for a Tau world, Ed? I don't think you are. I don't think you personally are ready for a Tau world.
It's all right. Just hide from him.
If you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not bad. And, of course, we had three new detachments.
Yep.
We had a Tyranid one that I have no idea about, and you, I presume you don't have any
idea
about it because you're a fucking scrub and you don't...
I haven't looked at them. I will.
It's called the Reavers detachment, I think, and I'm not quite sure
some
why.
Some sort of burrowing detachment, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure, I don't know, like, irrelevant. the Chaos one's quite interesting. The Chaos one is kind of the equivalent of the Librarian Conclave, but for, but for them, for sorcerers and anyone with Psyker, which includes Demon Princes.
Yeah.
So it's a massive Demon Prince. Oh, yeah, the CSM Demon Prince got Lonop.
Yeah, well, that's right. They all had it, right? So it makes sense for them to get it.
Which is cool. I like that. I like that they've got that thing going on. And then, of course, the Dark Angels detachment, which is the Wrath of the Rock.
Okay, that's a cool name.
Yes. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think it is make Dark Angels great again. So the main detachment rule is that anything higher than your toughness for your infantry and mounted units have a -1 to wound.
Oh, okay. That is good. That's very good.
Mini transhuman. Yeah. It's like we're in the realms transhuman again, boys.
Not this again.
Let's get
that on Deathwing Knights is going to be obnoxious.
oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's all coming. And in the same detachment, the Deathwing Assault Enhancement comes back for turn one Deep Strikes.
Oh, you love that.
Oh!
You could put your army right in front of the World Eaters again. Turn one. Let's go, baby.
There's an advance in charge. There's an advance in charge attachment. There's
Strat.
A better... Yeah.
What, for anything?
A better heroic intervention that doesn't involve charges, but involves movement.
Okay.
Or within 6 inches of something. It's going to be good, mate. And a plasma buff. So, gun buff.
Yeah.
So it increases your AP and strength of your guns, making Hellblasters strength 10 and AP 4. Oh!
And it'd be good on the old, the little speeders as well.
Yes.
The Vengeances. Yes.
And, of course, the Hellblasters also get the bonus of the transhuman as well.
They do. Oh, God, they're going to be... That's literally the perfect attachment for you. That's like, you always run those. You always run loads of Terminators. God damn it. Now you've got the buffed ass, out his ass lion. I'm going to be in danger.
You're going to be... I'm in danger.
I'm in danger.
You're going to be in danger.
Yeah, I am.
You're going to be in danger. You're going
to
be in danger.
I'm just going to have to run like 1,000,000,000 AdMech things and just shield wall you with bodies and just be like, nah, I don't care.
Ooh,
run
with
my men.
Chaos,
I don't care. You just kill them.
It literally feels like the Emperor's like... casting his line out and like riding, trying to get me back from my year of chaos.
He's like, come on,
I'm sorry.
It's the ultimate detachment,
Russ.
You even said you're going to play them next time on stream. When is that? Have we got something in the diary yet?
We need to. We'll book it after this. Speaking of booking stuff in the diary, just to move on, look at this wet band. I'm fucking on it today. Mm-hmm. You're like molasses brain.
Go on.
I'm just like, I'm shooting it off. I just need to poke you. I'm fine. I can just see you looking at your phone.
I'm not looking at it at all. It's over here.
Yes, but I feel your brain thinking it. I can feel your brain thinking it. We're doing some stuff for Aberdeen Whitney College.
Which we is are, yeah. That's going to be wicked, yeah.
Where to encourage your peeps and to do it. We're basically judging a mini creation competition.
Yep.
For either a 40K style 40 system. Gay? 40K.
You did
style
say gay.
System. I did not say gay.
We'll watch it back. I'm just going to make it like 200% louder. 40 gay.
Please do.
I will.
Okay, future editing Eddie. Yes. If you want to make work for yourself, do it.
I will.
40K. Okay. Wow, I've obviously got some interesting subconscious thoughts. But a 40K
yes.
adjacent system, Sigma yeah. system, or if they want to do a Trench Crusade system, Trench Crusade system.
That'd be cool.
Where they'll be designing their own miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the winners will be judged by us.
Amazing.
Which is really cool. And will be 3D printed.
Wow, okay, cool.
As well.
Very exciting.
So that's cool. So we'll be posting some stuff about that. And we'll be lecturing them in 2 weeks. So the week after this goes live. And talking about what we're looking for in minis and stuff like that. So anyone, Aberdeen Whitney, logging on now to check us out, like, good luck.
Prepare yourself.
And it'd be wicked to, like, be doing something on such a grand level and encourage the youngins to... Well, the whole point was, like, obviously miniature wargaming is becoming massive.
Yeah.
Right?
And it'd be nice for you to be able to pass on your wisdom before you die of old age as well, so...
Oh, that was just unnecessary. Is it because I'm hitting a nerve today?
No.
And you're like going for the jugular.
I'm starting to get a bit snippy now.
You're backed into a corner and you're like going for the balls.
Yeah, I'm going into like
balls.
Honey badger mode.
Yeah, you calm down, young man.
You simmer the fuck down, boy.
If anyone needs to simmer down, it's you today. Thank you very much. It's all good. Jesus. So, yes, so thank you, Aaron and Whitney, for that opportunity.
Yes, that's very
cool,
good of you. It's going
to
be fun.
Cool work with the youth, the off, and to help them, the young bloods, as they're known in the hobby, right? And to give them things. Some of them obviously love Warhammer and Games Workshop and stuff already, so we'll be preaching to the converted. But it'll just be cool.
It will.
Just to touch base, and see how we're getting on.
Appreciate you getting me involved.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't be silly. It's wicked. It's going to be well fun. It's well good. So that's August. So we've got all of our announcement news and various other things out the way. So our first one is potentially quite a spicy thing, and it's very opinionated. Should you trust influencer endorsements?
Oh.
Does it ruin content authenticity?
Mm.
Oh, now this is going to be an interesting
one. That is a spicy
one. We're dancing close to this fire. We've been dancing close to this fire for a while, right? And there may be stuff, you know, happen in the future with us. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's on In the Tank or the Battle Barn or otherwise, right? What are your initial reactions to this? Because I've got some interesting opinions.
I think it massively depends on what they're endorsing. And I think how they're doing it as well. Because I feel like some influencers... we'll just get a company reach out to them and be like, hey, you know, endorse our product and we'll just sling you some of it or whatever. And that's fair enough. It'll happen with the barn at some point, no doubt, as well. But, like, I think you've got to be quite choosy as an influencer about who you sort of get into bed with, as it were. Because there's a lot of people that endorse products that I've tried and I'm like, you know, they're spouting all this good stuff about it. And I'm like, well, it's not been my experience. And it's an interesting one. I'm not going to name any particular companies because I don't want
to
throw anyone under the bus. But like,
like shots fired.
But like some, you know, some people here and there, and I'm just like, it depends on what it is as well. Like if it's Warhammer related, obviously, I'm not talking about things like Squarespace where it's just like, you know, they're just chatting or like NordVPN or whatever. Because those guys go with anybody, right?
It's painfully obvious when someone does that kind of endorsement that it is a monetary value thing. And I'm not actually as bothered about that because it's obvious. To me, it's obvious where it's like, that's just them. getting the money that they need in order to make their channel a day-to-day cost, which I'm okay with. To me, there's nothing different about that than having ad breaks in your bloody video, right? And actually, sometimes I prefer that because it doesn't mess the flow up, right?
Sure.
But as you commented, I do think that you need to, as an influencer, not that it's obviously affected us or me or whatever, be really careful of genuinely believing in the thing that you're endorsed by, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Where, like, obviously, the Battle Barn has affiliate links.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the affiliate links are to people and companies and organizations that we genuinely, I say we, but it's obviously your pet product, but I consider myself a part of your homie,
You are.
Like, inner circle, right? That you believe in.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's Element Games, which are, like, a brilliant company that are great. I don't mean to endorse all of these things, but you know what I'm saying. Colourforge, which,
amazing
again,
we
raved about in the past.
Yeah.
And Broadsword.
Yeah.
And we love Ollie. We love Ollie. Yeah. We've had him on the show.
We want to support him.
We think he's an
great.
Absolute lad.
He's
so, like...
Man.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And also, I don't mind when, like, people do reviews when they get sent stuff early and stuff like that, or, like, products that they genuinely enjoy and like.
Yeah.
Like, when War Paint Fanatic came out by the Army Painter, right? And everyone was like, okay, this is cool. This is making me stuff. I don't like stuff which is obviously a cash-in, which feels like a cash-in. And if you don't use it and stuff like that, right? And I don't know, it's difficult. It's quite awkward.
It can be.
In terms of, like, I don't believe in people that are like, don't trust anything that people say when they're endorsed by a company, because that's just not how the fucking world works.
No.
If, like,
of course.
If you've got a team of people that are relying on your income as an influencer, it's all good when you're, like, a singular person that's just like, I don't mind whether this video gets £2 revenue or, like, 500 to a grand revenue, right? If you're, like, those little indie... you know, people, like your Peaches or your Suggs or whatever of the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they kind of need their videos to perform well. So it's like, you know, you can't be so dismissive of that. And, you know, it's a complicated world, man. Like, you know, even me, you know, was on the left, the center in terms of my politics. Like, we all need to eat. And it's like, you know, I think this, like, working in the creative arts for a while, there seems to be this mythology that, like, if you work and do anything creative, then you can't earn money for it. And it's such bullshit. And it's like, we all need to eat. We all need to try and survive in this fucking capitalistic hellscape that we're all in. It's like, don't be so critical. And, like, you know, you may consider otherwise if you're on the other foot, but equally do it with a little bit of grace and decorum as
well. I think you need to, like, look at the products as well for yourself. Like, talking about whether or not you should trust influencer endorsements, like, I think you should always take it with a grain of salt, because obviously these people are doing, they're endorsing it for a reason. And one of those reasons could be that they've been, you know, given stuff for free or been paid to endorse it. And the other one could be that they just genuinely really like the product. And maybe they reached out to the company and said, you know, can I endorse you? And can you chuck me some free paintbrushes or something? And, like, it's hard to sort of differentiate between the two, because there's not, like, a disclaimer coming up at the bottom telling you which of the cases it is. So, you know,
as
a viewer don't know that. You don't know whether or not these people truly believe in the product or whether or not they're just spouting it because they're getting free shit, basically. And I think that's the danger, is, you'll get a lot of, like, people saying, oh, this is great. And then you try it and you're like, I don't really see what the fuss is about. But then another product, you'll see like a couple of people say, you know, this is absolutely amazing, you guys should try it. And, like, Colourforge, for example, you'll get on it and you'll be like, I'm never looking back. Like, so you've got to, I don't know, just don't go in too hard. Like, I would never go in and buy, like, a 500 paint set. I know you do this all the time, but, like, I wouldn't go and be like, oh, I'm going to buy, like, the big 200 paints of this new range of whatever, unless I really knew the company made shit hot paints already and I'd used them before. So, like, go in with, like, something a bit smaller, try it out, see for yourself. And if you're like, actually, this is the tits, like,
in my defense,
more, you know?
Edward, in my defense, I recently backed the old Duncan Rhodes Grim Dark army paint set.
But that's he's good. You know?
I know that he makes great paints.
Exactly.
Transatlantic make great paints. It's going to be great. I'm doing a lot of Trench Crusade. It makes sense.
It does.
Right? P3 was a bit of a thing. But, like, I think you've just got to be really buyer's aware. I mean, my go-to philosophy in regards to all of this, how it filters down with people buying stuff in general, is like, if you still feel passionately about what you want to buy in a month, then buy it.
Yeah.
Right?
So like sleep
give
on
yourself
it
a
for
cool
a month.
down. Give yourself a cool down. Like Beastman.
Just do some research as well. Like, you know, go on the internet, look what people think, go on Reddit, look for reviews, go on YouTube. You know, you'll find people talking about stuff, honestly. And
knowledge is power. And even with us, right? Even with stuff that we like and we rant about all the time, you know, do your research too.
Yeah.
Right?
Might not be right for you as an individual.
No.
It could be for us, but you might be like, actually, it's not really my speed. Yeah. No.
Although we've had good compliments on our Discord of people being like, oh yeah, these are great.
You know,
especially the Fanatic range, where I'm like, the Fanatic range are great.
Yeah.
And then people are like making that change.
Same with
like
Colourforge. We've had a few people who bought Colourforge and they're like, this is really good. I'm not going to look back. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I think you need to basically, like everything in life, kind of do your own research, look at it sort of objectively and intelligently and kind of figure out whether or not it's right for you before you invest too heavily in stuff that influencers are endorsing. I think that's probably the best advice.
Perfect advice.
Yeah.
Perfect advice, actually. Very good advice. And yeah, and don't be afraid to experiment as well and do some cool stuff too.
Yeah, but exactly.
But yeah, cool.
Sweet.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Should we throw someone under the bus? No, I'm joking.
No.
I'm joking.
There we go. Okay, cool. So, hardest colors to work with and our strategies to combat them.
Yeah.
Would you like to start?
I mean, the most obvious one, white.
Go on. Ooh,
white is a bugger.
It is a bugger. And I kind of look at white in terms of the spectrum of colors, white cream and like bright,
cream I find easier than white. But white, I find... Like, you know, when you've got that kind of grey white where it's almost sort of like...
Yes.
What's the
Olympic white.
Yeah, what's that white contrast that you like? The one...
Apothecary white.
That kind of white where we're talking, it's almost like a faint grey over white. Like, that can be quite tricky to paint. I think that bold titanium white, as we've mentioned before, as a paint is incredibly good. It covers really well. You know, that's probably peak white paint, but still, like, painting a whole army white is an undertaking. It's very unforgiving. And because if you cock up with another color, like you get a bit of red on it, it's harder to fix that.
As previously discussed on the channel, right, with the white scars.
Exactly.
It's like, fuck white scars.
It's a lot harder to fix that than it is if you dab a bit on some black or whatever, because on black you could probably wash it off, and even if there's a tiny bit of staining, you're never going to see it because it's over a dark color. Whereas if you do it on white, you're definitely going to see that, and you have to touch that back up, and that can be quite unforgiving as a paint. I think
with just to start this subject, there's a couple more colors and I need to expand on white a little bit as well. The advice that I always give people, obviously, we talked about this on the channel before, is to obviously plan really far in advance. But like, white is a classic example of like working backwards from what you expect, where it's like, start brighter than you expect with your undercoat, shade everything dark down again rather than go the other way, and then dry brush or layer on top of that.
Sure.
And like my technique for doing whites, because I've done a bit of white scars, I've done a lot of Terminators, Deathwing Terminators.
Yeah, you have, yeah.
Is like grey sear / white scar or whatever. And then for white stuff, for like apothecaries or like white scars or whatever, like apothecary white, dry brush, Corax or appropriate going up, and then white scars, your spot highlights or whatever, right? And then just pray you don't fuck it up and like slip.
Yeah.
With another color over the top.
I've painted a lot of glow effects and I use white as an undercoat.
Yeah.
And like, I normally actually go with what's the contrast cream base called? I can never remember what it's called. It's a normal
contrast cream.
It's a normal base. It's a normal paint, but it's what they recommend. It's Wraithbone. That's it. Wraithbone. So I normally use Wraithbone as a base and then I go over it with bold titanium white, but I don't necessarily have to hit the whole thing. At least if I want to focus it on the middle of like a lens, you know what I mean? Like the middle. And then when I put my glowy contrast over the top of that, if the recesses are a little bit more like creamy, it doesn't matter because it's still going to look great. But the brightest bit will be brightest. So that's kind of how I've done all my glow effects on like my GSC and my Necrons.
Cream. So cream is kind of like the opposite, where like actually I would start with something a bit darker and only start with more gas bone, but I know that a lot of people, I fucking drink that paint, as you
you love it.
Painfully aware. Or Zandri, and then go up from there. And actually, I think because the pigmentation is a little bit different with cream, you can actually kind of build up the layers a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And dry brushing, of course.
They're less powdery as well than white, I find, cream.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I agree with that, actually. Like, yeah, what is that powder? Is that just the pigmentation?
Yeah, I don't know. It just powders really easily, especially with dry brushing. You have to keep your brush moist. Yeah.
Moist that dry brush.
Moist.
What do you mean by a moist dry brush?
I mean, dip the back end of your paintbrush in, and then I actually use a little sponge. You can get them from Artis Opus. He does like a little sponge in a little dish. And then I dip the it's great, actually. It's genuinely like the best product I've bought from them. And you dip the back of that paintbrush into wet the sponge and then just use your finger to sort of like rub the water around and then just get a bit of that on a clean dry brush. And it literally just moistens the tip up a bit. And then when you dry brush, you won't dry brush that sort of dusty dry brushing that you get oftentimes. Like if you don't do that, your dry brushing can look quite dusty.
Exactly. You got to be careful, it's worse though, that... Yeah, you've got to be careful though that it doesn't obviously smudge. You've got to be
Yeah,
really,
but you don't
really
wet it that
careful.
Much. It doesn't, it's no, like, no, 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 it's no. like a literal on it, you know, rather than a, like a, you're not dipping into the brush in water. You're just getting it a little bit moist on the tip, you know, just sort of getting it a bit excited.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What other colors are I going to name yellow?
Yellow, yeah. That's a traditional.
And my advice
one.
For yellow is to give up and not actually
no,
paint
I think that's
yellow.
Bullshit.
Have you ever tried it?
Yes.
I'm going through yellow hell at the moment. How did you deal with yellow?
There's two ways. You either do the new Imperial Fists contrast over white, which is very good, and then you can go over that one with a, I think, is it Cassandor, a yellow glazy color, which is very nice. Or you can do the other way that loads of people like to do it. Like I've seen a lot of influencers doing this, which is to sort of spray like a pinky base and go over it with that.
And I think people
use Imperial Fists over that as well a lot, but it kind of gives you a better, more realistic shadow on it because it.
Just... Why is yellow so hot? Again, I think it's the pigmentation, right?
Yeah, like, it's just a tricky one.
The varying colours that you get with yellow is absurd because sometimes they go a bit orangey.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get this bright, like, in your face, mega fight or flight yellow that you're like, what the hell is that?
I'd really like to try doing an oil wash over yellow and see what that looks like, because I feel like, especially if you, because one of the things I noticed when I did some yellow test Space Marines a while back was that if you wash them, you know how like you do the recess shading with Space Marines armor panels and all that sort of stuff. If you use things like Agrax, it's very stainy on yellow and you have to be so accurate. Whereas I feel like if you were to do a do your yellow and then hit it with some varnish, some like a gloss varnish, and then do a pin wash with an oil paint into those recesses because that uses the I can't remember what the bloody is it something flow is it laminar flow
yes lateral flow
something like that laminar Chats. Flow maybe it basically yeah, what it does is it lets the oil paint just seeps into the recesses and stays off the raised bits, and then once that's obviously cured, because oil paints don't dry, they cure. Well, they do touch dry and then they cure.
They take for a long time.
And obviously the nice thing about that is you can also just clean up the surfaces with like a little isopropanol cotton bud or whatever, and get, if you do cock it up, you can get it back off again. It's a longer process, but I think that could work quite well with yellow, personally.
I agree.
And also, like I said, the Cassandra yellow, it's like an orange almost, really. That works quite well as a recess shade because you can just chuck it all over the whole model and it gives you that nice warm yellow, but also gives a bit of warmth and darkness to the recesses. And again, you can also zenithal highlight when you spray. So spray black, then spray a solid white over the top from an angle. And I think that can work well to get those recesses a bit darker. There are ways around yellow, but I think
of course
it's more doable now than it's ever been.
I agree with you. I totally agree. I think also bear in mind that, again, it goes back to our first point about the first step of making sure your undercoat is valid, because you can, of course, just get a fucking yellow undercoat and yeah. do that. And then
you can.
You've got a solid foundation.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you've got, as I've discovered with my project, because I'm doing my iron sultanate in the purple-yellow scheme.
Yeah.
And like, yellow isn't necessarily the most prominent color on that model. So undercoating it from a yellow base doesn't actually make sense.
No, of course not.
So I've been working with Avalon Sunset.
Yeah.
Because again, the weird thing is like every single color of Games Workshop paint or Army Paint or Fnatic or P3 have completely different color coverage.
Yeah.
Like, and what I'm going to talk about in a minute, like, and it's weird because you think that the same companies have exactly, or the same rough colors have exactly the same coverage.
Yeah.
And they really don't.
No.
They really don't. And I've discovered that Avalon Sunset, for whatever reason, has a better coverage than most in terms of like the pigment to ratio. Of course, it is a base paint, so it should do in inverted commas, but I'm just doing that. Then Edanian, is it? What's the Eldar Craft Worlds like with the yellow Craft World?
Iyanden. Iyanden. Yeah.
There's an Iyanden color yellow, which I think is quite similar to Imperial Fist yellow or whatever.
Yeah.
Which turns it into a yellow.
You should try that Imperial Fist contrast, though. It's
amazing. Yeah, I probably should.
Really good.
I probably should, actually.
It's one of their newer ones.
I just highlight from there.
So like heavy on the pigment. It's insane.
They came out with like the Black Legion lot,
yes,
didn't they? And all of those correct, guys, yeah, didn't they? So that was good. That was a really good wave of paints.
That was, yeah. It really improved upon the last lot.
The formula.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think the other really asshole paint to use is pink.
Okay. Yeah, pink's like, another. Like, it's these bright colors we're kind of finding. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I was listening recently to the Siege Studio pod. And how all of them who are very experienced painters domestically and stuff like that were like, all my Emperor's Children look like shit.
Yeah.
They were like, they look, I mean, terrible.
Apollo's managed to nail his Emperor's Children. If you guys haven't seen in the Discord, go and check it out in the hobby channel. Like, they look amazing and his pink is like baller. So it can be done, but it is a tricky one, I think. Again, it's just another bright color. I think they're not easy, you know?
But again, after listening to the Siege guys, they're quite into their GW paints.
Yeah.
And they're using that Emperor's Pink.
Okay.
And I use the War Painter Fnatic Elderflower color or whatever it's called. That shit went on great.
I found
it was literally two coats.
The
and
GW
I was like, done.
Pinks to be quite chalky as well.
The GW whites are fucking awful.
They are, but the pinks are not great either.
Awful. No.
I've got an honourable mention of a hard colour to work with. And it's not hard to work with from like a hobbying perspective, but I find it hard to work with from, it's not necessarily the easiest to get it looking really good sometimes, which is black.
Because interesting choice.
Sometimes I find like you kind of go down one of two ways. You either go with like a sort of black, grey, white kind of, you know, you're slowly going up the gray scale, or you go with like the blue black, which is more like that black Templar-y kind of color.
I call this Iron Hands black and Death Watch black.
Yeah,
that's what I
exactly. So like,
right.
And it's a bit tricky sometimes to get that looking exactly how you want. And there's a lot of like either edge highlighting, like Luke's done with his black Templars. If you haven't seen them on the Battle Barn, they are amazing. And that's a lot of work, that is, like to get that really nice, crisp-looking edge of the armor panels and stuff. Or you dry brush it, but again, it's a lot of dry brushing layers. You're working your way up through several different colors. And I've done it with some Death Watch Marines before, and it's just like, I actually, as easy as everyone says black is, I wouldn't really want to do a whole army of that. Like,
I feel like it would be hard work. Especially to make it look good on the battlefield.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Because it's such a dark color, you lose a lot of your highlights almost in the color. You have to be a bit more bold than you realize in some respects.
Mm.
I found it with my Genestealer Cult vehicles, because they've gone down the blue-black route.
I remember like a very late night
on that,
you
the doubles event we did, yeah.
But like, you're right. Black is a mythologically difficult color, I actually think. I think it's nowhere near as easy as what people make it out to be, and us to underestimate black at your peril.
Yeah,
actually.
I find it hard work. I do, genuinely.
I do too. I've always gone down the dry brush wash route, and then pick out edge highlights, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and that tends to work all right.
That's a good way of doing it. That's what I do with my Death Watch.
It's a dark art, man. No pun intended. Dad joke.
God,
it's a dark art. The old black on black. But let us know your most hated colour combos. The one army that I will never paint ever for obvious reasons, but I actually think their colour scheme is shit and also looks really hard, is that, what is it?
Don't know. Tell me.
Space Wolves.
Oh, okay. You're not a big fan of Space Wolves, are you?
Rust grey and yellow.
I quite like it. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, I think it looks so bad.
Yeah.
It's another reason why the Space Wolves are the worst chapter of all time.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself
Legion
that.
Legion of the time, because... I will. What are you
You're in denial.
I'm not really. Mm-hmm. I'm really not. I'm all right, mate. I've only got space in my life for one furry faction, and it's the goat men. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm all right. I'm okay. Fair. Thank you very much. There you go. See. So this was an interesting one. We did a Primark draft,
mm-hmm.
and it's our Avengers. Oh, baby, a triple. perfect team of Primarchs.
Yes.
So we chose three that I presume neither one of us would also choose.
Yes, we wouldn't, I don't think.
So this is our three holy trinity of Primarchs. If we had to, like, sort of grab them and form them into an ultimate team of Primarchs, what would they be? And we're going to, like, we're going to go between it, and then we'll ask you to vote on what the better team was and also what your team would be,
mm-hmm.
right?
Great.
So go on then, Ed. You start us out. Go on.
Do you want me to just name all three?
No, just do, well, what,
do one at a time. Okay, all right. So the brains behind the operation, as well as the brawn of my of my team, is Perturabo.
Oh!
Now, I think old Perty would be...
He
would be an exceptional leader for my team, right? And I think that he's got... He's got ways around things. He's a good problem solver. I think he would... He doesn't, like, you know, he doesn't balk at kind of just throwing shit at a problem to make it fixed, right?
No.
And I kind of like that about him. He's ruthless.
Whether
he
that be legionnaires or
slaves or whatever.
Or
yeah, exactly. Slave. Demons or whatever, you know. So I think Perty would be my first choice. And you'll see why as my team builds up. Because I think we've got quite a special one.
Doesn't play well with others.
No,
however,
he doesn't. But
we need to bear that into consideration.
He's my guy in the chair in this instance.
Right. Okay. The cuck chair?
No, not the cuck chair.
We should title this video Primark Draft or whatever, right? This is a draft, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, well, I'm going to choose an obvious one first. Because he is the ultimate Primark. Sorry?
Russ.
No! I thought you were talking to me. I thought you were like, Russ, which makes this even more ironically funny. Yeah. Certainly fucking not the worst Primarch of all time. Fuck Russ. I am choosing the lion. I have three positions to fill in my dream
Doggy.
Triple Primarch.
Look, I don't want your lion fantasies coming out on this podcast. We've talked
That's
about
really
this before,
funny,
Russ.
That's really funny, actually. So my three positions, just to give you guys a foresight into it, is War Master,
yes,
Emperor, and High Ecclesiarch.
Oh,
so I've gone for the lion as my War Master, the ultimate tactical Primarch. An incredible duelist, arguably one of the greatest duelists of all time. Fuck off. We are the Dreadwind, we are death. Come on, mate. Whatever. Those Rangdang got seriously wrecked. Thank you very much. Get out.
Oh,
you
those
Rangdang,
those guys
about.
That no one even fucking knows about or heard about or gives a shit about.
The ones that almost threatened the entire
Imperium.
They
were terrifying.
Imperium.
That's why there's so much lore written about them.
It's because it's secret, because like I think that was why we lost to Primarch, but that's besides the point, actually. So the Rangdan, arguably the biggest threat to the Imperium ever, potentially,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
The greatest tactician, fuck off, one of the greatest duelists of all time, and he's just a complete badass. He's the ultimate. He has some of the best weapons ever conceived, hidden underneath the old rock. He's King Arthur. Bite me. Bite me. He's awesome. He's the greatest Primarch of all time.
Okay.
Like,
sure.
Suck on these.
Everyone's
lion
entitled
nuts.
To their opinions, Russ.
I'm not wrong in this opinion. I'm not wrong. A lot of people consider the lion to be the greatest Primarch, and he is.
Sure.
Get out.
All right.
Probably the original choice for Warmaster, but that's a conversation for another time.
My next one, already takes me up to 3. Alpharius and Omegon.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, nice. This is a great way around that.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a great way around that. I mean,
I've still got one more,
Gestapo,
don't worry.
Yeah, no, I bet you are. Your ultimate Gestapo secret police, right?
Yeah. I want these guys to be working in the shadows, playing at your own game. Maybe one of your 3 Primarchs doesn't even really work for you. Who knows? Maybe they're sneakily working for me.
I don't think so.
Master tactician? Yeah, anyway. the Alpharius and Omegon. I obviously love a sneaky boy.
You do. So that is your
yeah, all this like you know, back alley warfare. Who doesn't love a bit of back alley action?
you back alley
working in
Sally.
The shadows, you know. I love this, and I think that obviously with Perturabo sort of directing from the chair, as it were, and you know,
nice
we've
combo,
got a couple of agents in Alpharius and Omegon sowing seeds of discord and chaos out there. I think we could really get a lot of work done, you know, really sort of disrupt some stuff.
I mean, in your defense, like the work that the Alpha Legion put into the Great Crusade and would later obviously be the Horus Heresy is insane. They have weirdly a massive, massive legion, like huge legion of unknown strength.
Yeah.
And terrify,
yeah,
quite frankly, other sort of legions and stuff. Like incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Not the best fighters.
No, not necessarily.
As Dawn will attest to, like,
but I mean, what's scarier than like when you're fighting them and then suddenly the guy stood next to you with a heavy bolter just turns and blows you away, you know?
I mean, it's a fair, valid point. Exactly. I like it. I like your angle. Yeah. I certainly like your angle.
So that's my second pick.
Good choice. I knew you were going to choose.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure about your other choices, but I knew you were going to choose Alpharius. Cool. Okay. So as previously discussed, I have 3 positions in my perfect empire. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Emperor. And I think, what better Primarch to take the Emperor position than the blessed Hawk Boy himself, old Sangy.
Yeah.
So Sanguinius, the great angel. Speaking of greatest Primarchs of all time, I think the Lion for me is a subjective choice.
Yeah.
I think the objective greatest Primarch of all time is Sanguinius.
Yeah.
I think he's amazing. He is just... apart from his little PTSD, I'm going to kill everybody, Black Rage moment / Red Thirst thing.
Yeah.
Well, technically not the Black Rage, but the Red Thirst, right? I mean, apart from that.
Pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
Foresight, more sight, better than your sight.
Indeed. But also has that humanitarian edge.
Yeah.
Not as much as Vulcan, but still he gives a shit.
Yeah, he
right?
does.
Which,
and he's blonde, he has more fun.
It's true. He does long blonde hair. He has loads
actually,
of
you've chosen 2 blonde Primarchs, basically, actually.
I have. Yeah. Look at me getting don't read into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
favorite position.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's already potentially proven himself to be a worthy ruler.
Yeah.
When the Imperium Secundus happened.
Yeah.
In the time of the Horus Heresy.
Although he's not a great fighter now that he's dead.
Yeah, but we're taking this contextually when all of the Primarchs were kicking around.
Yeah,
right? Like you could have chose Ferris Manus if you were really so lamely, you know, thing. But that's fine.
Death Grip.
But he is an incredible fighter, right? Like I would argue, he's actually possibly the greatest Primarch fighter of all time. I just think that obviously compared to Horus being all souped up by chaos, he had zero chance to start with, right? The Emperor was kind of at one point kind of struggling.
Yeah.
So. You know, he's awesome. Everyone loves Sanguinius. He would be a just and worthy emperor. And I don't think anyone would mind bending the knee to him, frankly, unless you're another suitably sociopathic, foresight-wielding person.
Yep.
There you go. So there we go.
So my last choice, he is the go out there and the doer, the get it done, the down and dirty.
I hate this choice.
Conrad
Kurz. I'm setting you up, by the way. I literally set you up.
Yeah, did
that.
You?
You didn't comment on that at
no,
all.
Well done. The down and dirty Conrad Kurz. So
very dirty.
He would get shit done. Like, he is, again, like Purdy, he's not against getting his hands dirty, but like legitimately his hands real dirty.
I don't think he gets shit done.
Up to his nuts in guts, right?
I don't think he gets shit done. I think he's just a fucking sociopath.
Which is perfect. That's exactly what I want. I want him to just go out there and absolutely murder fuck a load of dudes. Like, you've got him running around just ripping people to shreds. You've got Alfaris and Omegon going around the sidelines being like, whatever. And then Percy's just wading through, smashing people to bits, and like, he's directing
the
whole thing.
It's literally like, as a functioning empire, though, buddy, you have problems.
No, I don't think so.
You're ruling humanity. You bitch about the emperor.
It would be a dark
version of
humanity.
You are like ruling humanity with an iron fist.
Yes,
and like,
exactly.
God damn.
Exactly.
Like,
that's what I want.
I don't think you'd be able to control Conrad.
I would.
I agree with your two choices.
Conrad's
great
the best choice.
No, he's not.
He
he's
is.
A terrible choice.
He's great.
He's a terrible choice.
He's got foresight as well.
Does he?
Yeah. He does.
Does he, though, really? I mean, literally, but like, it corrupts that silly little brain of his into doing silly things. Mm. So there we go. I'm not a fan of Conrad.
I don't like him.
I
know.
I think he's an absolute penis, but like,
I think he's great.
And self fulfilling prophecy extraordinary. I don't think he is. I'm going to kill this world because I feel like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Killing babies because that's fun. Conrad.
No,
the other two I can give you, and I think our third choice is going to be debatable on both sides. Actually, he does have foresight. He is a very capable warrior.
Yep.
He has zero ability to like hold his brain together, right? Or to be able to like be focused to do a bloody task. So I think that will be, I mean, you have a terrifying array of choices.
Yes.
Like I said, I don't think you have
it would be a dark imperium. Let's put it that way.
It would be a dark imperium. I don't think you would have a particularly high rebellion rate, quite frankly. It'd be like, citizen, take your food and move along.
Gruel.
And like Yeah. Oh God, dude. Okay.
He's your last choice.
I'll let you have your case. My last choice is High Ecclesiarch, and capable for the soul of my Imperium.
Yep.
Like keep it being inspiring and keeping its like citizens controlled. and my choice is Lorgar Aurelian is my final choice. What do you think about that choice?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Gone from blonde to bold. I like it.
He could be blonde.
He could be.
Know.
You never know. Yeah.
We don't know. We just don't know.
I like Lorgar. I've got a special place in my heart for Lorgar.
Interesting. Why do you like Lorgar?
I just think he's a cool dude. I think he's, again, quite a misunderstood guy. I think he tried to do what he thought was right and got absolutely shut down for it, as we've discussed previously.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of sent him on the dark path. But I actually think, you know, before his fanaticism and all that sort of stuff, I think he was pretty cool, you know?
I agree. I think also, like, well, obviously I chose it. I also think that, like, Lorgar's biggest USP is his ability to inspire those around
him. He does,
him, whether it's like, whether it's, like, his followers, legionnaires, or whole entire worlds into very particular, like, divine directions, right? Whether it's for the Imperial Truth or...
It's like a cult following.
Or fortunately... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Cult of personality, right?
Exactly.
And what got me thinking was, like, how cool a loyalist Lorgar would be in, like, our flipped Primarchs around thing, right? And the concept of, like, a High Ecclesiarch Lorgar just being, like, sir, like, almost like a worm tongue to whatever emperor you've got, right? And, like, exactly. I think that's the coolest direction for Lorgar
that's
ever,
fair.
Right? And, like, to have that authority and, like, you know, if someone annoys him to be, like, I've still got
a massive
mace. I can
imagine him doing
mace.
Some, like, epic speeches, you know?
Oh, dude, absolutely. And again, I always love the idea with Lorgar that, you know, don't get me wrong, he's one of the weaker Primarchs, right? But like, even so, he's still a Primarch. And if you do get on the wrong side of him, you're getting a Bible belt in the form of a massive mace across your face, which I still think is still epic.
Yeah.
It's still beyond epic, right?
He is very cool.
And I love the Word Bearers in general.
They're
weirdly one of my favorite legions.
Word Bearers are the best.
I don't think they're the best, but they're pretty up there for me. Wow, they're your favorite?
No, they're definitely one of my favorite Chaos Legions, eh?
Okay,
cool. I do love Wyatt Paris. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So what's not to love?
So I've got like a more aspiring Imperium with a hidden dark side.
Yes.
And you've got a terrifying
strike from the shadows. Dark, like, yeah, you would never feel safe. God. You'd never, and no one would rebel because they'd just be like, "He's listening," or "They're listening."
Yeah, they're listening. Yeah. They're listening.
No channels would be safe because of Purdy. No place would be safe because Conrad's always in the shadows, and you don't know whether the people you're even working with are allied to Alpharius. You just fuck. How could you operate under such a circumstance?
God.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. What a terrifying regime.
Dystopia.
Yeah, like, I mean, the Imperium was already bad, right? But like, that is some warped, cut shit. Mm-hmm. It's like Trench Crusade, there's 40K, quite frankly.
That's how it should really be, shouldn't it?
Well,
should be darker.
Maybe.
Should be more gross.
I don't know. I quite like... No, I don't know. I feel like we have both systems for a reason.
Mm.
And actually, I quite like how it is.
Yeah, it's a good balance at the minute. It just shouldn't go any further. Like,
no,
any, you
no,
know,
no, no, no,
no. I agree.
Don't go too crazy grimdark for 40K and don't go too...
Exactly.
Like, happy! Like, equally, right? And the same for Trench Crusade. Like, they occupy their space. It's fine. Yeah. It's cool. Just the old world is the best, anyway.
Matter of opinion.
No, I don't think it is. But let us know your three favourite Primarchs, please.
Drop us a comment down below.
Yes, please. Let us know. Yeah. Let us know. And and we'll look forward to working with Avalon Whitney in the future.
Yeah, it'd be good fun.
Thank you very much, my glorious co-host.
Likewise.
Have you got any final thoughts?
My equally glorious co-host. No, pretty much just, yeah. Let us know if you guys have got any topics you want us to cover. We've got like a topic suggestion bit in the Discord. So if you have anything you'd like to hear us talk about, then please just drop us a comment or go in the Discord and leave us one there. But yeah, big thanks to all our Patreons again. And to all our supporters and our community and you guys listening. So it's been a pleasure. And we will see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Ciao, everybody. Thank you.